Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Customer-Led Groove Show, where we discuss and share the best practices and the latest trends in customer marketing, advocacy, and customer-led growth. Today's episode is brought to you by BASE, a pioneer in B2B marketing and the industry's first CLG ecosystem for customer-led marketers, sales, and product professionals. Okay, let's welcome the CLG team and today's guests.
Hi there. Welcome to another episode of Customer-Led Groove, orchestrated by BASE. Today, I'm with Maria Ron. Hello, Maria.
Hello.
So Maria is the Director of Client Advocacy at DailyPay, and she'll tell us about DailyPay in a few minutes. She's worked at LiveClicker. I don't know. I have this like image of clicking a lot. And also Sales Fusion. So Maria, great name. It's my mother-in-law's name. There's my wife's middle name. So I feel like I've known you for years. Anyway, so tell me a little bit about you, your journey, and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, sure. So, geographical stats. I live in Roswell, Georgia, a little north of Atlanta. I've lived here with my husband and my kids. I have a freshly minted college student that I still look at in pure wonder and think, my God, how did we do this? And we have two amazing dogs. And my venture started really way back. And I say that way back. I started back in telecom way before Zoom. There was actually people that took reservations to schedule your conferences, no Zoom. And I've worked in client success. I've worked in training and enablement. And that all just kind of geared me and got me ready for customer marketing and client advocacy. It was just kind of like that next step for me. I couldn't be more excited to be in it.
Got it. And your role today?
I'm a director of client advocacy. So I am really in charge of making sure that we make our clients famous. We make them as important as our platform is. I work here at DailyPay. We're a little bit different. We're a fintech organization where we work with more HR and payroll folks to offer this as one of their benefits. So along with their medical, dental insurance, they can offer DailyPay, which allows their hourly and salary employees to get paid every day versus having to wait for that paycheck. So they can go online, see how many hours, how much they've made, and make those transfers. So it works for financial wellness and saving to an unexpected bill comes along and they need to grab some money early from their paychecks. Is what we do here at DailyPay. So really? I'm in charge of making sure that not only our users, which are the employees, so those are actually our customers, their voices are being heard so that other employees can understand the impact of being able to basically have your money because you've made your money. And then our partners are going to be our clients. We don't charge them. We actually charge the users when they use our service. So we're a little bit different how we're set up versus other SaaS organizations.
Interesting. And where do you reside in the organization, in your company?
Yeah, so we actually just did a really super interesting switch. I was underneath the marketing team, and now we've moved over to our client success and operations team, which I think a few other customer marketers, I'm starting to kind of hear through the grapevine, they're starting to kind of make that move. And I have to tell you, it was one of the best moves that I've seen. It makes sense as always being that client success manager and having to kind of work with the marketing team to get case studies and things like that. Being able to be in that same playground with our client success managers has really made a difference in just the synergy. It doesn't feel as much siloed. I can sit in on more calls. It just makes sense that I'm there. I'm introduced as being as somebody as part of that group. So it just makes that introduction to the client so much easier too.
Interesting, because you know, if you ask a customer marketer where advocacy should be, they'll say in customer marketing. If you ask a customer success or client success person, they'll say in that space. There's kind of like this other bucket of I've noticed some groups are now using digital success, to bring together, you know, whether it's a one-to-one relationship or one-to-many relationship or many-to-many.
Interesting. So. Yeah. I mean, you know, advocacy is important. So I think wherever we sit, as long as we get that spotlight to be able to understand exactly what we do, I'm kind of like, put me wherever, coach, but just as long as I get a chance on the field.
Awesome. So customer advocacy, what does that consist of in your world? What do you do on a daily basis? And, you know, what different, like sometimes you're in charge of advocacy and anything related to a customer, people are throwing your way, but what are like your priorities and the areas of focus?
Yeah. So, you know, listen, financial services is a really interesting beast because we need to be very careful when we're grabbing those customer end user stories. We have a very large compliance legal team, as you can imagine. So a lot of what I'm working with is how do we stay within the boundaries of being compliant? So we obviously want to get a lot of user stories, but we have to make sure that we have consent from those users, that they understand that, you know, we don't want to always hear the positives. We need this to be a real true story. So if there's frustration with the platform also, we need to make sure that we're incorporating that. So it's a lot of looking at, okay, how can we position certain things to just even building from the bottom of how do we build an advocacy program? This is something new to our organization within the last year after I started. And so it's setting the foundation of actually just making sure that is Salesforce the perfect place for our truths, or do we use spreadsheets or do we use other platforms? And then how do we get those to all talk together? So it's a lot of processes and working with different teams to make sure that if we change one thing, we're not altering all other plans and making it as easy as possible. And along with that, building these relationships with clients. You know, I'm so used to actually having a book of clients myself as a client success manager that I'm always digging and asking, hey, can I be on these calls? Can I meet these people? And not necessarily to do a case study right here and now, but just to get to know who they are and groom them in my own mind and build that relationship with them. So I would say, you know, part of my week is just how can I meet more of our clients? We just launched a CAB about a year ago, not even actually. And so it's been fun seeing that grow up and hearing about how a lot of our CAB members have become friends outside, which is just absolutely amazing. Drop the mic. You did your job. It's fun to hear a couple of our clients say, oh, well, when we were chatting the other day, and I'm like, oh, yes, we made this happen. So it's a mixed bag.
So you have customer stories, CABs, anything else?
We have referral programs. We've got our case studies. We're starting to work a lot on user stories and trying to figure out how do we tell the appropriate story of why an employee would want to grab some money out. You know, a lot of times people think, oh gosh, it's because they need it. They haven't been managing their money appropriately. And that's not the case. And so it's really trying to tell these really good, impactful financial wellness stories versus, you know, stories that might not be as uplifting for somebody else that says, nope, I'm good. I don't need that, that benefit.
Yeah. I would imagine there's a big education part because you need making people aware that they can take that money out.
Yeah.
Yep. Just kind of going back to customer stories. So I often get asked, when do you ask the customer that you can do a customer story? So what is kind of that process that you go through?
Yeah. You know what? I think it's funny. I don't know if there's ever really a true ask. In my opinion, if you get to know this person and they're like a friend to you and they start to tell you like, oh, you know, we've been doing this or we've been doing that, you lean in just like you would at a dinner party and you start asking them more questions about it. And then before you know it, you say, how about if we put this down on paper? Or can we record this and have you speak at an event? And it it becomes an ask without coming out and saying, we'd like to do a case study with you. And it becomes more just organic And that's only going to happen if you can have these relationships with clients and be able to just hear their stories. Because if they're excited about something and they feel that they've made a difference and that they're offering a benefit that nobody else has, they're willing to tell you the story because they're just as excited about it. Those are the good stories when they're excited about it, not, hey, we noticed that your numbers look really good. Can we try to pull a story and create one? Sometimes you have to do that too, right? There's a mix. But if you can hit that gold of having a conversation with a client on a QBR or as you're being introduced to them through an integration or, hey, these folks just signed with us. Do you want to do a buyer journey interview with them? And you start to just hear some of the things that they're saying and you make it more into a conversation and then, hey, let's go put this down on paper. Just seems like an easier way to make that ask.
And how do you keep track of all these customer stories? If you're comfortable sharing, what tools you use, things like that?
Yeah. So we use HighSpot to put all of our stories in. I'm not going to lie. We have spreadsheets as we start to think about, you know, is this person right for it? We also, again, we've got the luck of having our CAB members. So we took advantage of our last in-person with them and did a series of interviews with them that allowed us to pull out them being a reference, them explaining the integration, them explaining why they wanted to be part of CAB all in one sit down. And then we just took those videos and kind of chopped them up to those different needs and then put those up on HighSpot. For all teams to be able to see and we can track them. But it all starts with a spreadsheet. Probably not the best thing, but right now that's what we're using.
Yeah, no, it's a common thing. I mean, we're all dealing with Google Sheets and spreadsheets and things like that. And you know, sometimes people say to us, like, or to ask me, what's our biggest competitor? And I say a Google Sheet.
It's so true. And you know, it's difficult because I wish... You know, and we're trying to work on like content calendars so that it's just one quarterly review of upcoming events and everybody picks from it, right? So sales gets to hear about what events our events team is doing. I'm hearing, okay, so at that event, do you need somebody to be a speaker? So it's this whole collaboration of these different teams and everybody kind of getting what they need and moving together with it. But we all have our own spreadsheets. So it is difficult sometimes to be like, wait, what did we talk about on that? You know?
Yeah. Or
have to kind of go back to meeting notes and sheets and stuff like that. Yeah.
And then you go into Google Sheets. You're not sure if it's a comment or a note.
Very true. Yep.
And what about like, so do you do one-on-one discussions? Do you do surveys? How are you collecting this information?
So we do surveys. We do CSATs, which give us a little bit of insight. We're actually looking at revamping those a little bit where the CSAT would be more focused on where they are with the integration. So in our world, we do have to work with like, you know, the EVPs, right? Your payroll teams to be able to get those files so that we can process the payments. Or process their paychecks. But there's different folks at different stages of our integration, right? You're going to have your true buyer at the beginning, which is our HR payroll decision makers there. And then you're going to have your more practitioners along the road. So we're looking at trying to focus more of our CSATs, more of our buyer journey interviews, kind of based off of where they are in that customer journey versus, oh, it's been 6 months, let's go reach out to this person. But being a little bit more focused on where they're at currently and who is currently at that point. Have we moved more into a practitioner role or are we still working with marketing to introduce this benefit? So it really kind of depends on where we're at in the journey. But I will tell you, we tend to over-survey. So we're really trying to warehouse some of that and get a little bit more one-on-one with clients.
So in terms of the journey, do you kind of have a playbook of types of questions you ask, or is it more of a kind of like, how do you approach those lines of questions?
Yeah, they're focused questions, but they are also, I should say, they're more personalized questions. So what we've done is kind of created a task force of who needs to know what at different stages of the integration to when we hand off to a client success manager to later stages with us. So then that way everybody's kind of getting a piece. Product can ask, hey, can you ask these couple of questions at this stage to our product marketing team that might want a couple questions and or a theme later on down the journey. So again, it's just trying to collaborate and get everybody focused on, we got one chance with this client. And if we over ask them, they're going to be like, enough. So to just be a little bit more personalized on when we do those outreaches and them making sense versus just randomly asking a question from different teams.
Got it. So I listened to some of the earlier podcasts that you've done, which have been great. You talk about brand identity, mm-hmm. and why that's important. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I am a true consumer that would rather hear what somebody thinks of that product versus what the marketing team thinks about that product. And I know now, you know, the buzz is voice of customer. And I really, truly believe that me being able to hear it from somebody else, the good and the bad, right? Just because you had a tough integration doesn't mean that you want to give up on the platform. It just could mean, hey, you know what? Moving forward, this is what you guys should fix. Or these are things that we didn't think about internally at the company to make this integration smoother. So I think having those stories to be able to present to a prospect who's like, wait, there's got to be a catch here. There has to be something. And to really show like true feedback from our clients, again, good or bad, to even highlight, listen, this was a little tough, but my client success manager was so amazing. It made it worth it, right? So that shows that, yes, there could have been a few things that we're going to fix, but along the way, you got the support that you needed. I would rather hear that than it was a bumpy road and our client success team was nowhere to be around to help us. So brand identity to me is that honest opinion of how everything went and how everything is still going. And I don't think you really get that unless you uplift and highlight your clients and their stories and our users. You know, if they think that the app is glitchy and it's slow and it's, we got to listen to that. They're our client. You know, they're the ones that we need to listen to. And they're the ones that are going to go on the app store or they're going to go on Twitter and they're going to tell their story anyway. So we need to really listen and make sure that becomes our identity, that yes, there might be problems, but we're in it to help you and to fix things as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I used to, people say, well, this is, you know, many years ago when we first started creating online communities and people would be like, well, why do you want to create a branded community? And I'd be like, they're going to talk about it in somebody's backyard. It might as well be our backyard and we might as well hear it directly.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes people don't fill out a survey, but they're going to go to Twitter or they're going to go to the App Store, right? So we've got to learn how to meet them in all those different locations and learn what's the best way to hear their stories and fix what we need to fix or clarify. And you know, sometimes that's what product marketing is so great at is hearing some of that and being like, wow, we are not positioning this new feature and functionality the way that we interpreted it to be. So we've got to listen to that feedback. I think that's key, really key.
How do you share that feedback across the organization?
So we've been doing a lot with the CSAT, but I'll tell you, CAB has been super, super insightful for a lot of the leaders within DailyPay. We started this as, I jokingly say it's like Noah's Ark. I wanted two and two of each of our different industries. And a lot of that was because I wanted them to feel comfortable sitting next to somebody else that was in quick service restaurants, if they were listening to somebody in retail and being like, that means nothing to us. Like, I wanted them to have a partner in crime sitting at the table with them. And we just, I got to tell you, we hit gold with the group that we have. They were incredibly just insightful and just dropped little nuggets for us that we were like, oh man, we didn't think about it that way. And so our product team and our product marketing team, when they witnessed that and were able to sit in those meetings, they were like, we need more of this. How do we do this? How do we tackle them and talk more about different issues that we have? Because they were a great representation of the different industries that we serve. And so that helped build that relationship between advocacy and product. And the other, you know, our client success team loved it because this was something now they could go and say, hey, we've got this like secret society and we'd love for you to be a part of it. And this is, you know, how we would like to see you get involved also. And for them to be able to, the client success team, be able to share out some of the things that we spoke about over that day has helped them kind of nurture some new folks that we can put on the bench that our product team and our marketing team can go to outside of them not being a CAB member.
And how do you determine how many people? I love the Noah's Ark analogy. So I think that's going to be a new strategy. Yeah. How did you determine like how many people should be on the CAB as well as the persona that was invited to be part of the CAB?
Yeah. So we have right now we have 9 members. Which, you know, drove me crazy because I'm an even person. So I'm like, it's got to be.
I was going to say what that 9th person is like.
I know. We've got, I will tell you, we have a 10th, but unfortunately they haven't been able to make it to a couple of the meetings, but they've been on our virtual, meeting. So I feel better when there's that even number. You know what? We looked at kind of a majority of things. We looked at what was their adoption. So how does Daily Pay resonate with their users? Do we see high adoption rates? What do their tickets look like? Do we have a lot of support tickets from their teams? And that wasn't a deterrent, by the way. That was, I wanted to have a mixed bag. I didn't want this perfect, oh my gosh, we don't have people that call in. We've got amazing adoption. Like, I don't want all that. I want the underbelly of that. Or we're never going to learn how to make ourselves better. So we looked at that. We looked at a variety of titles, but to be honest with you, sometimes titles don't represent who a person is anyway. And then I just hopped on calls and I talked to some of the folks that I had highlighted and just asked them, you know, what do you think? Like, would this be something that you're interested in? And the ones that didn't skip a beat and said, I love this idea. Those were the ones I zeroed in on. Not, oh, I don't know if I could make that. I'm not sure. It was the ones that just went with their gut or who I took.
Yeah. I mean, a key insight, which I'm hearing from you, is like there is a labor-intensive activity that makes it sound negative. But if you really want to be human, that you need to get on the call and talk to these people and really learn more about them. So
yeah. And you know, we grabbed a few folks that are in marketing that, and we don't normally, you know, again, we deal with HR and payroll folks, but I wanted to understand how is marketing presenting this to their employees? How do they go out and try to build the brand that includes this amazing benefit that not a lot of other, you know, of their competitors might offer? And, you know, that actually brings up another thing. It was the fact that people were willing to talk about Daily Pay because, honestly, the reason why we have a difficult time sometimes of people telling their stories is because this is their little thing that helps them get an employee versus maybe their competitor, right? We're that little like, oh, well, we offer Daily Pay, especially in the quick service business, service restaurant business, you know, that sometimes they don't want to tell their competitors because this is their edge. And they may not want to share like their success because they're afraid that their competitor is going to sign up and get that same success. So we, you know, it's a fun little game, but you know, most clients, they want to be looked at as an innovator and a thought leader, in their industry. And so that's definitely helped too when they're ready to tell their stories.
That's great. I have lots more questions, but we'll just have to get you back on the show at some point because I want to be sensitive to your time. I always like to ask two questions at the end. The first one is, was there anything I didn't ask you that you're like, hey, Wilder, why didn't you ask me?
No, I mean, you know, people say to me all the time, like, what I think the key to client advocacy is, and honestly, it's relationship building. It is understanding a client, their environment. Like, I'm not going to ask a retailer right now to help me do a case study. They're busy. They're crazy busy right now. I'm also going to be really conscientious of when open enrollment is, right? And I'm not going to ask during those times. So to me, I think the best way to accomplish being a great customer marketer is actually understanding who is your client and trying to sit in their shoes. And because if I make an ask during one of their busy times, they're going to be like, no. And then it's going to be harder for me to try to get something out of them later on.
Yeah, no. So
super important. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. No, it's Scott Cook, founder of Intuit, always used to, I always bring up Intuit here because it's influenced me so much. And then we're also talking about, you know, financial industry stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I was a newly minted MBA. I'd go into his office with my fancy, we used Excel then, and show him my sheets and he'd throw them in the trash and say, tell me what their office is like. Tell me what they're saying. Tell me what else they're doing. You know, and so what you're saying to me is really, it's great. It's, I love it.
My dad used to say this to me all the time, and I will always remember this and think about it, is he always felt a good relationship and a good conversation was when you walked away and you knew more about them than they knew about you. And that's because you listened and you asked them questions and you reminded them of things that you talked about the last time. And it just takes the guard down. And people are like, wow, you remember that? Like, you took a moment and you remembered. And now you're coming back and having a follow-up conversation about it. And I used to see him do that. And I was amazed how he could just, it was like a Rolodex. He would go back and be like, well, I remember when we were talking about your cousin and da-da-da, you know, and it was just amazing to watch. And so I've always taken that as something to really hold strong, especially when I'm first meeting a client, because I'm taking up their time and I want them to feel good about that was a good conversation. I'm glad I just took that off, you know, took that time on my calendar to have that conversation.
I'll have to share with you, there's an article in Medium called Mattering.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on the value. Basically, longevity is tied to mattering in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so focused on two principles, that you matter when you're valued or you add value to somebody's mm-hmm. life, right?
So I love that. Yeah.
Yay.
But, you have to share that with me. I'd like to,
It's on my to-do list here. Yeah, to share it with you, because when you're talking, I think it, you know, really resonate with you. But the last question is, so besides your dad.
Yeah.
Who has influenced you or what has influenced you the most in terms of your professional career?
Sure. Yeah. My very first boss in my career, Pamela Wilson, she just instilled in me the confidence to be able to walk in a room and have those conversations and to feel like you could sit at any table you want to. And that has resonated with me for so long, because when we were first working together, we were in a very male-dominated industry. And I'll never forget, we had an issue. And instead of sending her a note or calling her, they sent her flowers. And I just remember her face when she got those flowers and her looking at me saying, this is not how you resolve an issue. And it just made me think, like, throughout the years, like, I do have the right to be at this table. I do have the right to ask these questions. And, you know, if a problem happens, I'm hoping that I don't get sent flowers.
Yeah.
You know, it was just such an interesting time. And to watch her so gracefully move through that and say, I received your flowers. Here's the issue that we have. And she completely just moved past the fact that they were trying to, you know, patronize her and be like, it'll be okay. And she just kept digging in and was like, no, it's not okay. This needs to get fixed. And And she was doing that because she was advocating for the clients that we were servicing who were having the issue. And so it was just interesting to watch how, you know, you've got to just rise above it sometimes. And I always think back to that. And I'll never forget a lot of the different lessons that she taught me.
Yeah. I mean, I can't, you know, being a guy, being a white guy, I can't even imagine. but I'm trying to be more sensitive to it because you and I talked in the beginning about we have daughters.
Yep.
Right. And, you know, who knows what the world will be like for them, but just it's helped me be more sensitive to or aware to what, you know, we might have to deal with. So,
Well, and they watch. Every one of our kids will watch everything that happens to you, and you don't realize how much they're watching you until you see them in situations and you're like, ah, okay. All right, you can handle that on your own. You're good. I'll drop the mic and walk out of the room.
Yep. Anyway, Maria, this has been great.
I've learned
a lot, taking a lot of notes here. Any last words for the folks here until we get you back on?
No, I mean, listen, I love customer marketing. I love advocacy. I think it is just such a fun thing to do. I always joke that I'm like grandma, right? Like I get to meet the clients. I get to hear all the great stuff, sometimes the bad stuff, but then I give it back to the client success manager for the renewal and the upsell, right? I get to have the fun. I'm the grandma. I get to highlight them and make them these superstars. So for anybody who's thinking like, do I want to make a leap? You know, just having the skill set of being a client success manager opens up the door for all these different opportunities, and customer marketing definitely being one that, you know, if you're looking for that next step, that this is the next step for your career, I think.
I have to share with you the mentoring program we're putting together because you might be interested in that. I mean, just listening.
I'd love it. Yeah, I would absolutely love it. Sign me up.
Okay. I'm signing the wall here.
There we go.
So thank you again for your time. And everybody, thanks for joining Customer Led Groove. And you can find us on Apple and Google and Spotify and even but the one thing I'll say is, and I always end this way now, is you don't have to like us. Just play it forward. Just share it with other people. Thank you.
Thank you again for joining Customer Led Groove. Remember, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on the CLG campus. Feel free to rate us, follow us, and leave a comment on any of those platforms. We hope to see you again soon when we're back in the Customer Led Groove.